So the message is going to start out with some questions for us to be pondering, and I'll be asking those questions at the very end of the message as well, and look forward to some of your thoughts in terms of the answers to these questions. The first question is, who's responsible for your health and your healing? A second question is, why is your health the way it is right now? A third question is, who's in charge of the healing that you need? And the scripture reading we just heard, those disciples were also wrestling with these similar questions. And it relates to who's in control related to both our health and our healing. And really, why are some people healthier than others? And then the question that's on the back of your bulletin, or the upside down of your bulletin, is, Lance, what does it say? Thank you, Lance. Why does healing come to some? Yeah, and the implication is and not to others. So let's discover what Jesus says and does in our scripture, and maybe we can figure out some answers. Jesus walking along this dusty road, going from one town to the next, closest disciples with him, hungry to learn from him, and so they ask him these questions. And Jesus and the disciples pass a man who's using a stick to find his way around. Many of the disciples probably know the person. They grew up together. The person's been blind all his life, never been able to see. And so Jesus' disciples asked the question that they probably had asked their parents when they were all just children. Why? I mean, why is this person blind? But of course, now they frame the question a little bit differently as adults. The man, that what they're beginning to think is maybe the man is blind because his parents must have sinned. Parents must have done something bad that God punished their child with blindness. And that's one of the answers that they've heard. And they've also heard another answer, that the man is blind because he himself must have done something wrong. Both of those answers have to do with blindness, bad health, a result of God's punishment. So they ask the question this way, actually. Who sinned and caused this blindness? Was it his parents' sin or this man's sin? And you think about the last answer. Was it this man's sin? And you think about even today, as we think about the personal responsibility that many people put on folks who are sick, I would call it a personal omnipotence perspective. Of course, omnipotence meaning all powerful, personal omnipotence meaning that we, in some sense, are all powerful, and that we, in some sense, are responsible for our own healing and health. And a lot of folks kind of make that assumption these days. You can find health and healing if you only do this particular thing, but it's up to you to decide. And so your health and healing is based on the decisions that you make. We eat this, don't eat that. We take this medicine and don't take that, don't do something like this over here. It's all about us, that we have the power, that we are, in a sense, personally omnipotent. And that might sound like good news and helpful news, but oftentimes it's not, because we often fail and we feel guilty. We have some bad health outcomes, and so oftentimes then we blame ourselves for those bad health outcomes. Something so that our failure related to our health leads to guilt, which often leads to depression. And I'm sure all of us can tell stories of family, friends that you know, have had something, and they ask the question, why did I get this? What did I do to get this? Let's see, Lori's class that she was in, cancer loaded the gun. No. Right. Cancer loads the gun. Lifestyle pulls the trigger. That whole idea. Right. Exactly. But it's that whole idea that our lifestyle or our personal choices pull the trigger. And in a sense, then we ourselves are totally responsible for whatever health outcomes we have. If you know, it's our fault. And another adaptation of that kind of understanding, kind of more of an evangelical adaptation, is that you'll be healed and find good health if you just pray enough, or you pray in the right way, or you believe strongly enough. And Lori will tell you stories when she was a youth of that practice and that belief that someone could be healed if they just, you know, believed enough. And so it has to do with us believing we are personally omnipotent, that we're responsible for our health and healing. Another answer that I hear many Christians use is one that also involves omnipotence, but the answer is more divine omnipotence, that God is all powerful, that God is totally in control, that God's responsible for our health and healing and all that happens to us. And I think really these disciples of Jesus are sort of believing in this, you know, that God must have caused this person's blindness because God is in charge of everything that happens. And we often hear references to divine omnipotence when bad things happen to good people. You know, God must have had a purpose for this to happen. You know, even though it's an untimely death of a young person, it must have been God's will. God must have needed them in heaven. God must be teaching them a lesson. Just some terrible things get said in this whole understanding of divine omnipotence. And really that whole belief that sickness and suffering and death come from the hand of this omnipotent God who controls all. And so that's a little bit of the perspective I think that the disciples were coming from. And they asked the question, why, you know, and for us to be pondering, is it personal omnipotence? Are we responsible, or is it divine omnipotence, God totally responsible? And the specific question the disciples ask is, who sinned and caused this person's blindness? But Jesus answered a different way than they expected. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. In other words, that the person themselves is not responsible for their blindness, neither are his parents. And the implicit assumption maybe is that neither is God, that God is not punishing the person causing the blindness. And so I think Jesus is saying that we are not personally omnipotent, and that God is not divinely omnipotent, that healing and health are not about what we do or simply about what God does. For me, my answer is that healing and health are a result of this, maybe like a web of relationships and events and factors. But it includes the presence of God. It includes our present decisions. It includes our past history. It includes human freedom, but also includes social conditions, maybe in genetic inheritance, and even, I believe, random occurrences. That it's not a simplistic cause and effect, that because of this, we see that. And so there's not a simple explanation for everything, including health and healing. So that it's not simply because of us, it's not simply because of God, it's just this partnership or complex web of factors. But in the midst of it all, I believe Jesus says, in a sense, these words to his disciples, and maybe to all of us today, that you will see God at work. So in the midst of the messiness, that God's at work. In the midst of our sickness, God's at work. In the midst of our troubles, God's at work. Why don't you respond with me? In the midst of our health challenges, God. In the midst of whatever we face today,
God.
In the midst of the mud of our lives,
God.
Right. And then the odd thing in this story, Jesus spits in the ground, and the spittle and the dirt become a little pool of mud. And Jesus reached down, took some of that mud in his fingers, a bit disgusting, and then took that mud and smeared it on the person's eyes, you know? But it is a good analogy of how God uses the mud and the messiness and the troubles, you know, and then ends up saying, go wash off in that pool of Siloam. And the man does exactly what Jesus told him to do, goes to the pool, reaches down to the water, a bit like a baptism, also a bit like an anointing, that God uses something very earthy to bring some healing. And for after the man washed the mud off his eyes, he could see and screamed out, I can see. Thank God I could see now. So at the beginning of this story, Jesus is asked by his disciples to teach about health and healing. And it's interesting that Jesus really chooses not to teach and really not to explain, but just to do something, just to bring God's healing, and shows that maybe it's not simply personal omnipotence, that the man nor his parents caused his blindness or could heal him of his blindness. And really, Jesus' example shows us not simply divine omnipotence, that God didn't cause the blindness or even magically and automatically make him see. There was some process that he had to go through. Jesus' example shows that it's this complex web of relationships and factors that causes health and brings us the healing that we need. So Jesus' example, I think, that in the midst of the mess, shows that in the midst of the messiness, that God's at work. In the midst of our sickness, God's at work. In the midst of our troubles, God's at work. In the midst of our health challenges,
God.
In the midst of whatever we face today,
God.
Yeah. And the tool that God used in this story to bring healing was some mud formed by spittle. Now, a tool that the early church used to bring healing was this oil for anointing. And so a little bit later, we're going to have a chance to be anointed with oil and invite us to be thinking about what we might want to pray for related to that if we'd like. But first, now we have a time for reflection. So how would you answer the questions? You know, who's responsible for our health and healing? Why is our health the way it is right now? Who's in charge of the healing we need? And you know, why are some people healthier than others? Why does healing come to some and not to others? So I'd be curious to know what some of your thoughts related to all that are.